Hello, welcome to another episode of Andrew's Amazing Podcast. I'm your host, James Santana, as always joined by my illustrious sidekick, Hunter Van Leerup.
That's me.
We are brought to you by Andrew's Amazing Comics down in Saving New York. First, before we start the news off, yes, I know we skipped last week. I was really sick with a bad infection, and I couldn't record. I ended up in the hospital for a couple of days. I'm okay, and this is why we're recording today. One emergency surgery later, and I'm back on my feet. Also, thanks to Ross DeVore for pointing out an editing mistake in my Crisis Adventures series. I'm going to go back and re-record those episodes or try to fix the audio on it. So for now, Crisis Adventures is on hiatus until I go back and remaster those episodes.
What happened?
So yeah, once those are refixed and edited, I will have them back up and the series will continue like normal.
Yeah, what happened?
So yeah, that's really good. That's a little housekeeping stuff for the show. Yeah, so let's jump into it. We have a ton of news coming out of New York Comic Con. It's insane. It was fun. I was there Thursday, even though I was really sick that Thursday. It was still fun. Got to do a whole retailer's breakfast. Got to talk to people from DC. It was awesome. It was fantastic. I love going every year. I got to go to the Black Barker Narrative booth and buy a bunch of trades of Radiant Black. So I'm caught up to date with Radiant Black now in trade. I just need to get Rogue Sun and Dead Lucky, and I will have the entire set of Radiant Red, I think.
Nice.
Radiant Red.
Nice.
And I'll have the entire set of the Massiveverse. So it was fun. I got the pins from there. Cam got them for me on Saturday. So yeah, it was fun. It was a really good time. I love the trip. So yeah, let's jump into the news. Hunter didn't go this year with me, but next year I will make him come up and come with me at least for one day.
Yeah, I plan on coming next year for sure.
Just meet me on Thursday. Just tell me like you're my lackey. Just pretend you're
definitely taking one of the press patches, bro. Yeah,
just
for sure.
You know we can get one for the podcast. You know that, right?
Yeah, it's too much work.
It's free.
Yes, but I have to send emails that I don't want to send.
I can do it. It's easy anyway.
Okay, you'll do it then.
So I don't have to. I do for the store.
I'll take Anthony's badge. It's okay.
All right. So we have a lot to cover. So starting, this is a whole episode of just news. If you're looking for any other topics, we'll be talking about hopefully Batman vs. Dracula, H.P. Lovecraft next week. We'll see kind of how it falls on the spooky day. But let's jump in with the news and our all-news episode and our book review episode. We have Dynamite, which now has a deal, a list of books due to a new partnership with Warner Brothers, starting off with Declan Shavely writing Thundercats.
Dude, I'm so excited for Thundercats. It's crazy.
Dude,
Thundercats
is
one of the first comic books that actually brought me back, which is ridiculous to say that.
Really?
Thundercats, something that wasn't comic book related. They released a book, I want to say it was the 2007, hold on, let me see if that's
right. The Image
Thundercats
one?
I think it was Image or Dark Horse. Was it Image? Thundercats, Image Comics. Load, motherfucker. I don't know if it was that one. Anyway, but it was a recent Thundercats book. The one before everything stopped coming out for them. Not this one. 2016, not the crossover. I can't even tell which one it is. But yeah, no, it was a graphic novel that I read that was Thundercats back in, I want to say, 2000-something, when I was on one of my Myrtle Beach trips when I was a kid. And I remember, like, I was like, oh man, Thundercats has a comic book? This is crazy. So I remember reading it and then getting back into comics, and then New 52 launched shortly after, and then that's when I got into it. But yeah, Thundercats is what brought me back. So I've been waiting for a Thundercats book. When they did He-Man Thundercats, I was over the moon. I was like, no, they're back! And the book was okay.
Yeah.
And then I'm excited for the dude. I love Declan Shalvey.
Yes.
Can't wait.
It's going to be good. The first cover came out, and it's by Nakamura, and it looks awesome. The book,
oh my goodness, yes,
quote unquote, is supposed to be like the moments after Lionel becomes leader of the Thundercats. I'm like, so the TV show.
Yeah, it's basically going to be like probably modern retellings of the TV show.
No.
Kind of probably very similar to what... not modern retellings, but you know what I mean? Like with those characters, with some of the similar storylines and character beats from the show, minus the super kiddie stuff right at the end. Like, that's why you don't do drugs or whatever.
Yeah, it's just going to be... It's just a updated version of the show. It's not updated, but it's just like... It's set within the continuity of the show, yeah. Just with a different look and feel. So, So what Dynamite's doing is just kind of what Dynamite does with Disney. It's properties that Warner Brothers doesn't want to put out under the DC label. Marvel does with Dynamite, like stuff they don't want to put under the Marvel label, like all the Disney stuff, like Disney villains and the Darkwing Duck stuff, and Lilo and Stitch, for example, they don't want to put under the Disney brand.
Yeah.
So they licensed it to Dynamite. So the other books that were announced from Warner Brothers are Space Ghost, Powerpuff Girls,
excited for that,
Johnny
as well.
Quest, Wizard of Oz, and Wee Bear Bears.
Dude, I love Wee Bear Bears.
I love Wee Bear Bears also.
Wee Bear Bears, very underrated Cartoon Network, late Cartoon Network show. Very, very underrated, it very is. Good cast, mwah, writing. Mwah.
I love it.
I know, but I'm excited for the Space Ghost book. I just read the Kelly DC and one? The one from DC right before all the Future Quest stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, it was right before. It was right around like probably pre-52, right near the end. They'd released a 6-issue Space Ghost origin story that led into the TV show or whatever. It was crazy. And I was waiting for there to be more. And then, you know, DC didn't have the rights. And then they came back with Future Quest and it wasn't the same. I read all the Space Ghost books that they put out back then, but this was crazy. So if they bring that team back, that'd be crazy cool.
They had the rights. They just didn't have, they just didn't want to produce anything with it because it didn't sell well.
I see.
That's all it is. Because it's the same parent company. Warner Brothers is a parent company still.
Yeah.
The one thing I'm hoping they do is a Birdman series.
Oh, my goodness. Harvey Birdman still lives on in TV. They have his daughter, Bird Girl. That's not the same. It's got the same feel. It's got a few of the same writers. It's not the
I'm
same,
not
but it, it's got a good feel.
No.
You're not talking about Attorney at Law.
No.
You're talking about the real Birdman.
Yes.
Oh, man.
I was like, what?
I love Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law. That shit's awesome.
It's hilarious. But I would love to write a Birdman series.
I know what you mean.
If I got a chance to, I'd do it. That or Space Ghost are my two, like, Hanna-Barbera ones. I would love to write, like, a series with that.
Oh, for sure. Those are two good picks. I'd write those too.
Oh, Blue Falcon. That's it.
Yeah, but Blue Falcon falls under like the Scooby-Doo jurisdiction nowadays, so it's tough.
Now it does.
Yeah.
Which I'm like,
They've tied it too intrinsically to that.
But it's good. So that was it for the Dynamite news. Anything else you want to talk about for the Dynamite news?
Oh, no, man, I'm excited. I definitely want to read the Wee Bear Bears book. Hopefully it's written by any one of the writers or any one of the cast members.
They probably will.
I'm hoping so, or at least there's some attention to it, because like Gargoyles is done by Greg Wiseman, who headed the original series back in the day, and obviously he's done Young Justice, and he's written a few other books before. But it's cool that they got like an original creator to come back to continue the story. Wee Bear Bears doesn't necessarily need anything too plot-heavy if it's just going to be like a fun book, but I hope it's done with care, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, Johnny Quest could be something very where, like,
Wizard of Oz. If it's just a retelling, if it's like it's an original story in the Wizard of Oz that involves all the characters, or like, even if it's like a grittier retelling of the Wizard of Oz, like we see a little bit more action and a little less like Lollipop Guild. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know, but I mean,
because I don't like that Sumerian has been doing. You know, American Psycho and Basic Instinct, where it's just like the movie, but drawn like cool. That's like a different way to consume the media. And I have a bunch of books that like for Marvel and DC back in the day that are like Punisher, the movie, the graphic novel. But those are like novelty. I pick them up when I see them at like like in the not in the back issue bin, but in like the $5 bin. I go, oh, this is Steel, the Shaq Steel story. I'll pick that up. Sure, that's stupid. I have the Planet of the Apes movie adaptation. Like, but I just don't want an adaptation. I want something original.
Exactly, and I get that. Like, and that's the whole problem with. And we'll talk about a little bit more as we get through some
like,
of these.
Like originally, Sumerian, when it was Behemoth, they did the Hotline Miami book. That was an original story in that universe. That was cool.
Yeah, that's fine. But like with this, it's just like I understand where it's like a little bit like I don't want a direct. I don't want a shot for shot remake of Wizard of Oz. You know,
because yeah, I've
like,
seen it.
We've seen it, exactly. They don't do that. But the other stuff that they have. Like on that list makes sense, you know. That stuff is like you can do original content with original stories that are tied to whether it's a sequel to the TV show or an add on to the TV show or add on to some of these properties. You know, that's the plus side with this medium that they can do, you know. So that's what I'm looking forward to. The only one that's I'm really worried about, like I said, is Wizard of Oz.
I'm worried about Powerpuff Girls too. I feel like that could be done very poorly.
They'll just do like Weeby Bears, make it like a show. It, the series will probably be like more like episodic, you know.
Yeah,
just
but
like,
is it gonna be Powerpuff Girls, the modern stuff, or is it gonna be the old school stuff? They look the same, but they're not written the same.
No, it might be the original series.
I hope so. I hope it's like a continuation of the old series. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, it, well, the continuation is a light term. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, in universe, you know. Pseudo canon stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll go on from there where we'll jump into so the way I broke this down is by pseudo publisher and like imprints because there's a lot of news. So from the Black Market Narrative, we have Moon Man, which is created by Kid Cudi and co-written by Kyle Higgins, a new book to the Massiverse in which a man travels to space and gets superpowers. And Radiant Black ships with two interior stories as the Kalos War starts. In fact, this week the Kalos War starts, and that will run for 6 months. For Kalos War. So if you're reading Radiant Black, you're going to need both covers right now.
Is that going to tie to any of the other stories in there? Like maybe Rogue Sun? I know like no one is separate, but okay.
Nope, nothing ties directly into. Characters are going to show up, like Shift
is going to
show
up. Yeah,
you know, stuff like that, but they're not.
We know about Shift, yeah.
Yeah, well, he was in Radiant Black earlier on in the series, and then his miniseries is coming out soon. With Radiant Black, none of the other books are going to tie into it directly. There will be characters that we see, like Inferno Girl Red is going to be in it. They say she plays a big role in the Kalos War, and so does Shift. We may get one shots with those, but who knows? But right now it's going to be Kalos War 26.1 and 26.2, but it's just called 26 on the, when you read it, just as 26.
Yeah.
But you'll have
are
to
are they doing like the AB thing again?
What's up?
Are they doing the A cover B cover thing again?
Yep.
Okay. Very cool.
So you need A cover if you want for Al Nathan's. And B cover you want to follow Marshall's story.
Gotcha.
And then they'll merge together at the end of 6 months. So while we wait for Hunt to get back from what he's doing, it's really cool that we get to see the Black Market stuff, especially with the rebranding of Radiant Black as a multiversal story. I understand there's a lot of people that are kind of like that have gripes with it. Only because it makes more sense. I get it. It feels like you're being forced to buy the same book twice to get the full story. Retailers also kind of feel the same way. We all are kind of in the same spot as even collector, as a fan of the Massiverse. Even I kind of like, oh, well, I wish we didn't have it like that. I am excited to see how it is collected in trade. I will be getting this in trade also, along with reading it issue by issue. It's really cool. Honestly, I think the Massiverse has spun out into something major now that they've got their foothold in and their stories all set to go. like Hunter was bringing up before, if it was going to connect to the other stuff like Rogue Sun, I think there will be a connection post, like here we go, Talos War's over, something, 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 Supermassive is going to happen next year, and then it's going to do another connection from there. I think what's really cool about what's going on with the series so far on the announcements I'm excited about is like things like having Moon Man enter the Massiverse from Kid Cudi, which is like a mix of Massiverse and something, I forgot his label, Moon Madness or something like that. Which is really cool to see, and I am a fan of Kid Cudi, so Moon Man is his like persona is like Slim Shady is to Eminem, or Marshall Mathers, sorry. So it's cool to see that, and he's like a lot of the albums that he's done will influence the actual comics. So it'd be kind of cool to see, hopefully, because I know Black Market likes to do a lot of augmented reality or into reality. So if there will might be an album that attaches to this, that'd be kind of cool. For Moon Man, I've already seen some of the pages from it. It looks awesome. It's definitely one of those, like, if you're a fan of hip hop, if you're a fan of, again, the Black Market narrative stuff, it's really cool. You guys should go out there and check it out. Yes, so we have Matt Cave to produce more licensed comics, starting off with Steve Orlando writing Gotcha Man, with Chris Bautista doing the art. And I didn't write down the lineup for who's gonna do these next two books, but they also have Flash Gordon and Dick Tracy coming out.
I don't know if they have the creative teams announced for those yet.
They did. They announced them at Comic Con. I just didn't write them down.
Okay.
Yeah, I just forgot to. But yeah, it's cool. Like the only of those, the only one I'm looking forward to is Gotcha Man.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of Flash Gordon, but not like a huge fan. If I hear the book is really good, I'll pick it up. But if I hear it's just another Flash Gordon book, I'll probably wait for a while. Like I have a Flash Gordon book from, oh man, what era is that? I don't even know the publishing company, but it's old. It's written by Jeff Parker, I think. I think it's one of
Okay.
those books when he was doing all those, like the Batman 66 and stuff, and he's coming
Yeah.
back to do that Batman Santa Claus book, Jeff Parker.
Yes.
Yeah, so he's still doing stuff, which is great. You know, I haven't read a Flash Gordon book in a hot minute, and it's probably because they haven't been out. But I'll definitely give it a
That's really
chance, like
why.
I said. But if I hear it's just another something, like if it's an adaptation, like pass. You
Yeah, like
know?
Dick Tracy, I'm looking forward to because you can do a lot. Like, actually, funny enough, I read Dick Tracy comics when I was younger.
Yeah, he's the
And I
yellow
like
hat
them.
detective, right?
They're detective stories.
Yeah.
And I read them when I was up in Vermont as a little kid. So I want, like, that's another one I'm excited for, just to see what they do, because you can modernize it without getting taking away too much from the character.
Yeah, exactly.
So we can move on from Mad Cave into IDW. The IDW publishing line is now slimmed down to mostly just licensed properties that include D&D, My Little Pony, Godzilla, TMNT, and Sonic. The only independent book that's coming out or will be coming out are their finishing lines from their original IDW Originals line, which include Hunger in the Dark and Good Dark Spaces Dungeon, I
Dungeon.
think, just
And then
launched.
also Beneath the Trees just launched as well.
Yes. So
Very good,
once
by
those
the
are
way.
all done, we are just down to the slim pickings. They just did their January, February slits, and it's just all licensed properties,
That's
except for
crazy, man.
Hunger in
But
the
hey,
Dusk.
if that's what sells, that's what sells. It happens.
Yeah, that's what keeps the lights on.
Yeah, man.
We go from there. Anything else you want to talk about IDW?
No, I'm excited about. I do like a lot of their creator-owned books that they've been putting out these last few years. It does suck that they're losing not the licenses to those, but you know what I mean. Like they're losing the power to print and make those kinds of books again. I like their lineup: TMNT, D&D. You know, the Godzilla books. Sonic's good. You know, I don't care for the My Little Pony stuff, but that's just me. But they have good writers doing it, like Wheatley. Not Wheatley. Whitley did a bunch, so that's good. So, like, it's just, it sucks, but at the same time, I get it.
Yeah, it's not like they don't have the power to produce this stuff. They can produce original content. It just doesn't sell. Yeah. And you have to be smart about it. You're a business.
Yeah, like, and they also do Usagi.
Yes. But that's so sporadically, like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, of course.
Yeah, I mean, Stan Sakai's been putting in a lot of stuff recently. Like, there have been a few, like, the Space Usagi one-shots coming out. And there's a few, like, the one we put up on the show a few weeks ago. What was it? The snow? The mountains?
Snow, yeah, ice snow
blind,
yeah.
Ice blind, something like that.
Yeah, it's not, yeah. But again, it's not like they don't have the power to. It's just like it's what sells. It's what can keep their lights on. It's what allows them to make books, mm-hmm. you know. So it happens. So next up, we have info from Dark Horse. Dark Horse is producing a sequel prequel to Blue Book called Blue Book 1947. It will delve deeper into the rise of the UFO phenomenon in the United States.
Oh, also, Dark Horse has Usagi. My bad.
What happened?
Dark Horse has Usagi.
Yes.
IDW only does it when there's a crossover. That's my bad.
That's fine.
Yeah. They do Star Trek, though. Yeah.
Yes, they do have Star Trek, yes. But yeah, so the Dark Horse Blue Book, I can't wait for the new Blue Book series. It's going to be another miniseries, again, showing off the rise of the UFO phenomenon in the United States, taking cases. The first series was the Betty and Barney Hill case with backstories on other famous UFO cases and paranormal stuff. This one looks like it's going to have the Phoenix Lights and the Triangle UFO in the first. I think they're doing the Hopskin alien invasion. I think I don't know. I'll see as the book comes out. Yeah, for the cool. The first one's out in trade already. If you want to go get out and trade, if you're a UFO guy, or if you're into like ufology, it's awesome. The books are out. Volume 2 is going to be supposed to come out in January, so start coming out in January technically. You know I'll be all over that, so.
Sounds good.
We now go to Ghost Bad Ghost, or now Ghost Machine.
Oh, yeah. Those guys went hard this Comic-Con.
Yes. So Bad Ghost becomes Ghost Machine and builds a new superhero universe for Image. Heroes, not capes. That's a big tagline. The universe will start off with Ground Zero, which is a two-part issue, it's called Geiger Ground Zero, and then there will be the Red Coat one-shot, and then we'll get the Ghost Machine number one, which will explain all the books, which will include Rook Exodus, which is written and drawn by Fabok, set in a world in which technology has run amok in a post-apocalyptic universe, and the Family Odyssey, which are family superheroes, a witness protection who time travel back in time to be witness protection. Those will be two separate universes outside of the Geiger stuff, which is the Geiger universe is called the Unnamed War. All the creators that are part of Ghost Machine will be exclusive to Ghost Machine. Mm-hmm. After they're done with their prior engagement, things like Fabok and Geoff Johns, which means Geoff Johns will not be finishing the DC Golden Age stuff. That also explains why he's been delayed. At DC, like Fabok, who else? Brian Meltzer. Like, it's like a murderer's row of creators for Ghost Machine, and they will all be exclusive to Ghost Machine. So this is insane. This is actually a big move.
Geoff Johns is pulling out all the stops. It looks like he's taking a big like reapproach to comic books as a whole, and he's like, instead of doing DC, I'm gonna do me.
Yeah.
I mean, Geiger is strong. It's a strong book. I haven't yet read Junkyard Joe, but I hear it's really good. I want to read Red Coat. That looks awesome. That's the Hitch book. And then, I don't know, the Odyssey thing does sound fun, but I don't know, man. I kind of like the interconnected universe of, like, his weird, like, like World War II atomic bomb history nonsense. Like that Geiger verse is good.
Yeah, the unnamed war stuff is cool.
Yeah, and like Rook looks awesome too, but I don't know. I'd have to see that like book in action, as it were, to see if it'd be something that piques my interest. Because I'm not a huge like dystopian apocalypse guy. And yeah. If that's just kind of what it is, then you know I could read Undiscovered Country. I could read, you know, so many other books. So no, I do want to see what that.
I'm excited because Geiger.
So it's going to be beautiful regardless.
I'm excited because it's Gary Frank and Geoff Johns doing Geiger after this, and Geiger's going to become their all like ongoing series now.
Yeah, dude. I it sucked when Geiger only came out, and then they were like, "It's the start of something," and then it's been 3 years.
Oh yeah.
So I'm glad they're picking it up. And hey, he got busy. I'm not blaming him for anything. I'm just saying you opened with a great book, and then you know you announced Junkyard Joe and Redcoat. Junkyard Joe took 2 years to come out, and Redcoat's still not out yet. So I get it. It takes time. We know this, but like, damn, dude, I'm excited because they're coming back. It's like when Saga came back; it was nuts.
Yeah, but the way Saga does it, they do it like in like arc, so it's like 5 issues break, 5 issues break.
Yeah.
So we are down to the two biggest parts of the news. Yeah. So we'll do the DC stuff from Comic-Con next. So starting off, they're re-releasing the Death of Jason Todd facsimile with the alternate ending, which Jason survives. This is a cool kind of alternate facsimile that they're releasing
for the anniversary of the issue. It's a new old story.
Exactly. And if you're, and hopefully they'll collect, so I'll put it in, like, if you get in a collection later on, like, it's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Next, let's do Superman Superstars.
This is crazy.
Superman Superstars is a new initiative from DC that will be rolling out through Action and Superman for the next, from going into the ending of this year into 2024. This starts off with Action Comics being a now anthology series, in canon anthology series, which is a different writing team will take over the book at the end of every story arc. The story arcs will be shorter, ranging about anywhere between 3 to 5 issues apiece, with a new creative team each time, but they are all canon, building into the mythos and story of Action Comics. The first one being Jason Aaron writing I, Bizarro, which is the Bizarro family fighting Superman, pretty much. Next up will be Jason Aaron taking over the Joshua Williamson taking over the book with House of Brainiac, which has been
I thought House of Brainiac was Jason Aaron's story.
No, House of Brainiac, I, Bizarro is Aaron's. Williamson is House of Brainiac because it's his story. It's the story he's been building since Superman.
It's weird that he's Superman not doing it in the Superman story.
Because it's all going to tie together. Because it leads into the crossover for next year.
I was going to say, House of Brainiac is a crossover.
Well, okay. It's not a crossover. It's not a crossover between Superman and Action. It's just in Action. But it's been spinning out of stuff that's going on in Superman, which will be the fact that Brainiac has a army of Carizians ready to fight against the Superman family. So it's going to be Lobo, Superman family, and there's Lobo Zarnians. Versus Brainiac. Yes, versus Brainiac and his army of Carizians. And we might actually find out who Crush's mother is in this arc. But
that'd
we be, also got
something we desperately need.
Yeah, I know, right? We also got a sneak peek at who or what is the Brainiac Queen. We don't know who she is. We'll see
It says House of Brainiac will cross over with the main Superman book that Williams is doing.
There you
Williamson.
Go.
So yeah, it's going to be both the book for him for a while.
Yeah, so it works. Right. I can't wait because I love Williamson doing this.
We haven't had a good Brainiac story in a while.
No. And Brainiac's been
we need a refresh.
Well, he's been teased since the start of Dark Crisis that he's the big bad
Yeah,
for this
and
joint
then with
these
Superman Annual number one for this Williamson stuff, they dropped everything. It's like, oh, here we go. We're
Yeah.
back.
And you're
Yeah,
bringing Ackman.
because he popped up during Apex Lex, that storyline, the Legion or the Year of the Villain. And then yeah, he's popped up here or there, but he's never been like the guy.
No, Williamson's making him the guy.
Yeah, which is what he should be. He should be Superman's like greatest, villain. Like, sure, Doomsday's tough and Lex Luthor is like the douchiest human being alive, like
Oh, yeah.
Brainiac is one of the only characters that could actively best Superman on the regular.
It's true.
Because every time he loses, he's like, "Nah, I just don't do it that way." Everyone else, like Lobo and Doomsday, are like, "Let's punch till we get tired." So Brainiac's a tough one.
No, Brainiac's gonna be cool. He has his two Doomsday dogs that he has with him right now. It's really dope.
Yeah, I see him on the teaser, and
I
now we're
can't wait
getting the
because it's.
Brainiac Queen, which is gonna be nuts. Imagine if it's like an
Yeah, like
alternate
what?
universe Supergirl or something.
We mean the what the other one in the black suit on the cover?
No, the queen.
No, we don't know who she is yet.
Yeah, I said, what if she's like an alternate
She's
universe, like the brain of a dead woman or something that he put into. I don't know how the network of Brainiacs works, but isn't it? Aren't they all
so
supposed to be Brainiac?
no, no,
So
no,
it's
no, no,
weird that there's
no.
a female in there.
Kaluans, because he's Kaluan. Kaluans just
Yeah.
have different bodies and brains and all that.
Okay, I
She
just
might
know there's
be.
like a bunch of Brainiacs, so I didn't know if he was like, I've killed everyone but me.
No. So Brainiac himself, Brainiac 1 through 5, if you want to think about it that way, for like purposes
Yeah.
from like now to the Legion. Brainiac 1 is Brainiac Prime, the one we see right now.
Yeah.
2 was like, depending on continuity, sometimes it's the son, sometimes it's his daughter, which might actually be Lena, because she showed up.
Ooh.
Lena Luthor is Brainiac's daughter.
Okay.
Because we
Guess that
just
could be cool.
so in
That
the
could be the queen.
90s, so in the 90s, Brainiac infected Lex's daughter Lena with a virus, and then she had the abilities of Brainiac as a human. She's now shown up in the Superman book as of
Oh,
last week's
so
issue,
she's either the red
and she
herring or they're teasing her early.
right, and she has the Brainiac 3 symbol on her head already, but they're scars from when she was
Okay.
a baby.
Okay.
So she might be the Brainiac Queen.
That would make sense, but maybe it's a red herring.
Yeah.
They could easily shoot Dick Grayson in the head and make him Brainiac. It happens, you know?
Yeah, it could be anything, you know. And then Brainiac 3 is Vil Dox from the Legion series from the 90s, the Legion series from the 90s.
Oh, okay.
When it was like Legion, but like was spelled out in letters. And
Yeah.
then Brainiac 4 is unknown, but it seems to be his daughter, and then it's Brainiac 5 from Legion.
Yeah.
It all varies. Who knows? We'll see what happens. I'm excited because if it is Lena as Brainiac Queen, that'd be awesome.
That's good shit. That's some good
And then we
storytelling
also
right
have the
there.
re Oh, absolutely. And we have the return of the DC Elseworlds, meaning all books outside the main continuity that's not Dawn of DC or Earth Prime. Right now we'll have the DC Elseworlds title. The first one coming out is Gotham by Gaslight, the Kryptonian Age. This will see the formation of the 19th century Victorian Justice League and the fact that Kryptonians are the ones that started the Industrial Revolution in Victorian England.
Yeah, that's gonna be sick to see. Gotham by Gaslight is such a great story, but it's so old.
Well, yeah.
So I'm excited to see more in that, but through a modern lens.
We have Batman the Barbarian, which is just Batman set in Scandinavia, pretty much.
Yeah, man.
We have Dark Knights of Steel volume Dark Knights of Steel 2 was announced, and Dark Knights of Steel the All Winter.
Yeah, which is Viking Deathstroke.
It's Deathstroke as a Viking, and we meet a new kingdom, like the Ice Kingdom, and him being a Viking and a mercenary. Along we'll also meet Rose, the Dark Knights of Steel Rose. This
awesome.
Is kind of like the All Winter is kind of a it's a spinoff slash like bridge series between volumes 1 and 2 for Dark Knights of Steel.
Uh-huh.
And when I mean volume 1 and 2, I don't mean like the collector's edition. I mean like the first volume and then the Dark Knights of Steel 2.
Yeah.
It'd be very North Game of Thrones.
It's stuff. Like the all-out war story for the zombie, for the vampires. It's like that nice
yes.
middle. It's the Unkillables through Deceased. It's like a nice little middle ground.
Yeah. We have Green Lantern Dark, which is a take on the DC Tangent Universe. So you'll see, if you remember the DC Tangent Universe, it's also known as Earth 9. The DC Tangent Universe has, like, Superman's the black guy that's a telekinesis. Their mega hero, and he's like a tyrant. You have a mega hero known as the Atom, you know, stuff like that. Green Lantern is the, for most versions, she has the staff and can talk to the dead. Nightwing is an organization, not a person. Secret Six, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. I have most of them in trade. But yeah, so it's really cool. In this one, it just takes place in an alternate dark version of that universe in which the world's eclipsed and this mega corporation has taken over, and the Green Lantern, the female Green Lantern from that Earth is now like the focal hero for this book. You have Batman Nightfire, which is written and drawn by Sean and Clay Mann, and there's not much information about it. It's just but there's no information. The cover looks cool, but there's no information about it.
Yeah.
It just has the only thing that we were told and what you can look up now is that what happens, what secret could Batman keep that could have torn his family apart. And that's all
secret
we got.
Secret brother. Scott Snyder already did that.
Yeah, like that's from the Golden Age. So it's not even like Scott Snyder invented that story.
No, but he made it modern.
Yeah, I mean they've done that story a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, Earth 3 is all about that. So yeah, it just we don't have that much info really go on it. And finally, from DC, we have DC versus Vampires World War V. Which is a sequel to DC versus Vampires.
Yeah, dude.
So yeah, those are all the new DC Elseworlds and DC news coming out.
Yeah, I'm glad we're getting back to the Elseworlds.
I'm excited.
I know we've always had Elseworld books, like, you know, the previous DC versus Vampires, Dark Knights of Steel, Black Label. It gives off very Elseworld vibes
DC
for certain books they do, like Damned.
Yeah.
But Elseworlds, I feel like DC would classify it as a different feeling, like something vastly different, like Gotham by Gaslight, Barbarian, you know, Dark Knights of Steel would definitely fall under that, and especially DC Tangent. But like Batman Nightfire, they have to do something crazy for it not to be a Black Label book. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean,
certain books that change the mythos, like Jurassic League, that's technically Elseworlds.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, they needed to bring back the Elseworld title anyway, just for it to make sense about it.
Yeah.
Having stories that are out of canon while you're still producing content.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense
it's
to kind of do
that. It's
a good
indicator, because while it's obvious DC versus Vampires and Dark Knights of Steel aren't, you know, canon, it's good to have that little Elseworld sticker on there, so then people who aren't in the know, you know it's not canon. Because some people could be like, I started reading this book and it's so good, I wonder where it fits. It's like, guys, come on. They're in the medieval times. What are you talking about?
Exactly.
So having that little Elseworld sticker on there just makes it easier.
Yeah, that's all it does.
Yeah, it's exactly
it
like
absolutely
Black
does.
Rivers,
it's cool. Yeah, that's exactly. And
100%.
That's they should have done this a while ago.
Oh, for sure. They should have just consistently had it. I don't know why they stopped the branding of it.
I don't know. People are weird.
Yeah, I mean, hey, it might have been whoever was doing it. Was it Didio? Maybe Didio didn't like the Elseworlds brand. I don't know. But I'm glad we're back on track.
They try to bring it back at one point, and again,
okay, that's probably because of licensing stuff where they got to hold on to the.
No, it has nothing to do with licensing. No, they don't have nothing to do with licensing. They own it.
No, but like copyright. Came down, like they,
no, they own it. It's just a term, and you can't. It's just a term. They try to bring it back once in the 90s, not the 90s, the 2000s, with like the Elseworld House of L. Book is like if Superman's entire family survived the crash and landed on Earth, but then they went nowhere. That was like a 3-issue miniseries, and then you can't even get that collected. And that was a 3-issue miniseries, you know. So I don't know why they just didn't continue it. There was no point not to. Mm-hmm. So anyway. Finally, we will finish up our new stuff with the Marvel section. So, starting off with Star Wars. Star Wars will be rebranded. Star Wars is going to be rebranded with a bunch of new miniseries. One from Mace Windu. One from Qui-Gon Jinn. Oh, sorry. One from Qui-Gon Jinn, which will be part of the Dark Horse Hyperstories. Also, a miniseries from Marvel and a new novel coming out for Qui-Gon Jinn. So there's more. It's like three. They're hitting it with all three things. Mace Windu will have his own miniseries, and Jango Fett will replace the Bounty Hunter series from Marvel for the
yes and no.
Star Wars one. No, they're canceling Bounty Hunters.
No, but like Jango Fett replacing it's kind of a strong term for that. It's just like, it's just if you want a Bounty Hunter book, the Jango Fett book is the one to pick up.
Well, kind of. It's even other sites, lots of sites are touting it, and even Marvel officials touting it as a replacement for Bounty Hunters. Because I don't know what they're going to do, because the Star Wars Revelation book comes out later on this year. And that kind of sets up what's going to go going forward. And it's going to be coming out almost right after Dark Droids is over. So, and I know whispers are that they want to lean out of the main Star Wars stuff and go backwards in the timeline.
Well, yeah, because they had so much stuff that they just kind of left on the cutting room floor. Because, dude, they had... So the Mace Windu book, the original one, not the new one. The original Mace Windu book was called Jedi of the Republic Mace Windu. Having a title like Jedi of the Republic kind of indicates that you were going to launch more than one book, like Ki-Adi Mundi, Qui-Gon Jinn, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Instead, like, they just did Mace Windu, and then they moved on to other Star Wars books later down the line. Like, now we're getting an Obi-Wan Kenobi, but oh, the one... Not the adaptation, the one that came out, the 5-issue miniseries. Like, we got that one, and then we got the Yoda book. Those could have easily been, you know, Jedi of the Republic. But instead, they just only made it for Mace Windu specifically, so it's just such a weird title to have. So I think this is kind of what they wanted to do back in the day. So that's cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's pretty good.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. I love me some Qui-Gon.
Oh, I know.
Jin's my dude. Yeah, George Mann's writing it. It's going to be great.
Like, it's Qui-Gon's okay. He didn't do much.
Ah, you don't know. You don't know. Qui-Gon's the guy, dude. You can't. Qui-Gon's the best.
Eh,
no
whatever.
Cap. No, no, no. I just think Liam Neeson is a good mentory fathery role. And he did very well in the one movie he was in.
Yeah.
No, he was youngish back in the day. Back in the old 1999.
We're okay. Anyway, we move on to our mainstream Marvel stuff, guys. So let's just run through this and interrupt me as you want. Sabretooth War begins in Wolverine, which is a 10-part story. Kind of finishing up, but it's pretty much going to finish up Benjamin Percy's run on Wolverine.
Oh yeah, so we'll the fall of X.
Yeah, this is all during. It actually is not considered Fall of X. It's part of what will. What I should have announced first, which is the Fall of House of X and the Rise of Powers of Ten era, which will be a whole thing. I'll get to that in a second. But yeah, so the Sabretooth War is the story of Wolverine versus Sabretooth and his exiles. So it's gonna be cool. It's pretty much like the. Would be the ending point or an end cap to Benjamin Percy's run. I'm not saying that as fact. I don't know if it is, but if it is, it makes sense to end it here.
It definitely makes sense because of the fall of Krakoa in general.
Yeah, it's happening right now, yeah. And come November, we're supposed to know more about whatever the teaser of the new X-Men was from San Diego. We have the, like I said before, we have Rise of the Powers of Ten and Fall of the House of X. The Rise of the Powers of Ten are set 10 years after the Fall of Mutants and the Orcus winning and beating Mutants. The X-Men team consists of Iron Man, who's kind of put together and falling apart, but is sewn together by bits of Krakoa. You have Kamala Khan as Captain Krakoa. You have Laura as Wolverine, sink in the 1990s style chair from Xavier, and you have Shadowcat, who looks like a giant, and she has gray skin and red eyes.
Yeah, I will not be reading that book. I'm gonna say it now. I will not be reading that book. That,
why? It's like House of X, Powers of Ten.
It sounds like not. That's right. Yeah, but that pass. I like the next one, the Cyclops stands trial for murder. That sounds cool.
That's the Fall House of X. Cyclops is on trial. They're sister books. So just like House and Powers, they're going to be released in the same order. So 1-to-1, 1-to-1, 1-to-1. So one sets 10 years in the future, one is set in the current time.
I hate that 10 years in the future shit because hindsight, you'll only shoot yourself in the foot. Oh, they changed the future. Then why do it? From a narrative standpoint, I dislike it. That's just me.
I know you do. But most stories do that. It's kind of dumb.
Well, yeah, because then I can't wait. 10 years from now, it's like, what are you going to do?
No, I know. It's going to end up being like...
It's like Gods.
Well, no, because Gods takes place in current time. It's more like the original House of Powers. The Powers of Ten was set in 1,000 years in the future when the Phalanx won.
Yeah, but they were actively trying to like set up that established Moira nonsense where that was a Moira life. If Moira was all
it
done,
was actually only in House of X part. It was the Moira stuff. You don't find out that it's a Moira life until the very end, last issue.
But it's still, that's what it is, you know?
Yeah. And actually, it really didn't pay off because you don't realize it's a Moira life because you don't realize she has where her mutant powers are until X-Men issue 1, and you find out that's
A lot of the stuff that they did with Moira didn't pay off.
Until you actually don't find out that it's actually, you actually find out that it's actually Omega Sentinel's life, that she was kind of Days of Future past it into the past, and that's what created all this. But you don't find out until way later. But I'm excited. It's what I kind of wanted it to be. I wanted the two sister books and for it to be like, hey, this is what could happen. This might be the future. If pretty much it goes, the trial is playing out, and then you have if they lose the trial, what's going to happen? Then you have Resurrection of
Magneto. If they lose the trial, it's going to be the Fall of the Mutants 10 years later. They always tie that shit together.
Exactly. The next X-Men book was Resurrection of Magneto, which will star Storm as she figures out a way to bring back Magneto. I'm pretty sure they're going to fuck in that book. Because at this point, they might as well. Why are you upset? You don't read X-Men, right, do you?
No, because I don't like Storm. I think she's boring.
Well, that's read X-Men Red. You will have.
I read the original X-Men Red. That was pretty cool, but that was a Jean Grey book.
Yeah, read X-Men Red. You have.
I read a few issues, and then I read the Storm and the Brotherhood of Mutants, and that was bad.
Some of them is awesome. I have no idea what you're talking about. Oh, well, because you
Dude.
don't read all the books. You just pick and choose stuff
I
and then go,
read the
that's
stuff
cool.
that is deemed important.
Yeah, but the problem is when you don't have context to things, it doesn't make sense. So
Oh, I
reading.
read all of Sins of Sinister, and every piece of context should be there as it's an event that you can jump into.
No, it's not meant. It's not built as a con. It's not built as a event to jump
It's
into
written,
at all.
but
It's like
it
if
may
you were
not be
reading
billed
X-Men,
that way, but it's written that way because it doesn't make any sense.
it has to be read with context from X-Men. Like if you weren't reading X-Men before this, none of this makes sense. Like you
Yeah, but
can't
it's a
jump into
bad
Sins of
event.
Sinister and go, yeah, I understand this. Like I read it because I read X-Men. Like that's why it was easier. People that
I
were like, oh,
understood the
can I jump
story
into
they
X-Men
were
and stuff?
telling.
It was just a
I
story.
understood the story they were telling.
Yeah, but you also, but before that, you were reading X-Men anyway.
I read the main X-Men book, period.
Yeah, but you read X-Men in general. I'm talking about the main X-Men book.
Yeah, but I didn't read. Yeah, but
Yeah, you were.
fucking
You were reading
that book.
Duggan's Run.
Yeah, but that book doesn't really help.
It doesn't help, but it still gives you context for a lot of the shit going on.
Yeah,
Like you
Duggan's X-Men
can't
is the
you
only
that was
reason why
not a
I'm still
clue.
reading X-Men.
Jerry Duggan's X-Men and Immortal X-Men are the top two. A lot of other people, their top two are X-Men Red, Immortal, and then their third is X-Men.
I just don't care about the Mars, like Araco. I don't care about them. Like, I'm
Yeah, you
not
don't
gonna
have to.
lie. Like I am reading the Marvel Unlimited story with Sunfire going to get Red Root, and that's pretty cool.
You forgot
And
that was a
I'm
thing. That was happening in X-Men, and then like they're like, oh, this is
Yeah,
going
at the
on.
end of X-Men 24, they were like, Sunfire is gonna go get Red Root, and then you read X-Men Unlimited and he's like, I'm gonna go get her. So
Yeah,
it's
like, all right.
interesting to see so far. I'm reading on Marvel Unlimited, so a lot of my stuff is behind by a few months. So I just read X-Men 24. But I've been
Okay.
reading the X-Men Sunfire story since it came out a few weeks ago. So when I saw the end of X-Men 24, I was like, oh yeah, I'm in the past right now.
Yeah, this you are. But yeah, so Resurrection of Magneto involves Storm getting Magneto. So it's cool. Because there is no resurrection going on because all of them are locked in the White Hot Room. Spoiler for everyone that's been reading that have been reading X-Men. The five are locked away in the White Hot Room with a crazy Jean Grey.
The White Hot Room?
Yeah.
Why are they locked away?
Is it that you don't know what the White Hot Room is, or that you why are they locked away there?
I don't know either.
So the White Hot Room is a thing that the Marvel Comics has had for years, which is the kind of space the Phoenix lives in and is born from every time Jean dies or in between hosts. That's where the White Hot Room
Sure.
is.
Okay, sure.
They are locked in there because Mother Righteous put them in there.
Ugh, Mother
She gave like
Righteous.
she took a fake she took a piece of Krakoa during the Hellfire Gala and put it in its own little bubble and put that bubble in the White Hot Room. And so when the five were like running through portals that Xavier made them run through, she put them there. She brought them there.
Sure. That sounds
For what
good.
reason, we don't know yet.
For what reason? So they
We don't know
can't
the
revive
reasoning yet.
people, probably. Well, because we know that
Well,
Mother
they can, yeah.
Righteous and the other Nathaniel Essexes are part of the Sinister Four or whatever.
Yes.
fumbled. Bag has been fumbled, dude.
What are you talking about?
I had so much hope for the X-Men books. And
Shut
then
up.
some
You
of
don't
them are
read
just like,
X-Men.
Mother Righteous. Like, get out of here, dude.
You're not supposed to read everything, first of all. And second of all,
I
you're not
don't read
supposed to like
everything.
something.
I'm not saying I have to like everything. I just think that some of these things that they're doing are just like so weird and out
It's
of
fine. It's
place.
actually a very classic X-Men. The problem is, I was talking to someone else about this. The biggest problem is that people thought that they would jump into this and understand everything. I'm like, you can't do that with X-Men. X-Men is not that type of, and it has never been that type of story. X-Men has always been a story where
You
if
have to read
you're,
everything.
if you, when you relaunch with a new number one, that's where you jump in. You can't be like, I'm jumping in at this event. I'm jumping on this era. No, you're in it for the run. You know, The biggest issue though with like for, not even with Krakoa, Krakoa is fine.
It's
The
just the
issue
number
people
of
have with it is like,
titles.
oh, it's too many books.
It's
I'm like,
yeah,
it's
it's
not
just
too many
too many
books because they
books.
get canceled and you don't have to read everything.
I know,
It
but there's a lot of
doesn't
books that you
matter.
do have
Spider-Man
to
has too many
read,
books.
and then the monthly bills add up. Spider-Man has one book you have to read, and it's Amazing
I'm
Spider-Man.
just being
Like,
facetious, but what I'm just being facetious, but what I'm saying is no one's saying you have to read all the books. If you think you have to and you choose to do so on your own, that's on you. Like I do, like the way I do X-Men, it's the same way I do any sort of book. Like
You
I
just
don't
read
read
the
every
big
Batman.
three.
No, well, it's the same thing with Batman, for example. There's a million Batman family titles, you know, but you don't have to read all of them. Like for me personally, for X-Men, I try and read all the issue ones at least. If it's, or I read the synopsis about what the style of the book's supposed to be about. If I like it, I'll read it. If I don't, I won't. That's it. I don't care if it's quote
Yeah.
unquote supposed to be important, you know. Like I don't read X-Force. I really should be reading X-Force
Yeah,
and
X-Force
Wolverine.
is the one book that I haven't been reading either, and I hear
X-Force and Wolverine
X-Force
are
and
like the books.
Wolverine.
Those are the two
Yeah.
books out here that have been consistently good from start to finish,
Yeah, they
besides
have never
X-Men.
dropped, and that's 'cause Percy's on point.
Well, Marauders dropped after the first series ended, and then Steve Orlando took over when they made it more like Star Wars, and they made it too weird.
Yeah, well, it's 'cause they also just basically just did Sword too.
Exactly. Sword is a better version of that. Like,
Yeah.
Sword is really good. Sword was good. X-Men Red is really good because it did continuation series, and it's Al Ewing, and it's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Dark X-Men is cool. I like Dark X-Men. I loved Hellions.
I'm only gonna be reading Dark X-Men because of Gambit. I
I'm
follow
reading
my
Dark X-Men
favorite
because of Madeline.
characters.
It was
Yeah, me
also
too,
it's a
Maddie.
pseudo sequel to Hellions anyway.
Yeah.
You know, like, and right now, like, everything's miniseries besides Immortal, Wolverine, X-Force, and X-Men.
Yeah.
Everything's
And X-Men
miniseries.
Red.
They're four or five issue miniseries. We have the new series called Dead X-Men, which stars the winners of the Hellfire Gala on a special mission from Xavier. It's not confirmed, quote unquote, but we know by the cover it's everyone that died except for Juggernaut, who's part of the X-Men.
Yeah, 'cause Juggy lived.
We have a new Cable series finally coming out, which spins out the Fall of X with Cable and Kid Cable.
Ooh.
So, and that is it for X-Men news. I'm again, Dead X-Men, I'm excited for because it's Steve Fox and he's the one writing Dark X-Men right now. Also, like I said,
Yeah.
it's supposed to star the people that were voted for and die during the Hellfire Gala. So we'll see what this is all about and how they get resurrected and stuff. Because
For
again,
sure.
no five. So
Yeah, man.
let's move on to Spider-Man news. There is a new Edge of Spider-Verse series coming out. The first character that they just showed is called Weapon 8, which is a Cyclops Spider-Man hybrid.
It's weird that they killed the Spider-Verse and then they were
It's
like, haha, just kidding.
he looks like Cyclops from the 90s, but with iron spider legs.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. It looks like he's a version of some Peter Parker, but if it's supposed to take place in the Weapon series, then it's not going to be. But it's Edge of Spider-Verse, so
Who
we'll
knows?
see. I'm excited though. Even though they got rid of the Spider-Verse, I still like the Spider-Verse, so I'm glad they're
They
bringing it
didn't get
back.
rid of
Even if,
Spider-Verse.
well, the end of the Spider-Verse should really signify, the end, but sure.
Well, it didn't. All it did
Oh,
was
yeah.
reestablish the Spider-Verse. It ended with them all going to Earth 616 and them going, "We're rebuilding the web." Okay, cool. Everyone go home now. And everyone went home.
Okay,
He goes,
bye.
"I'll always just be this Earth's amazing Spider-Man." And that's it. All it did was end that there probably won't be another massive crossover between all the spiders.
Yeah, not another big event.
Yeah, that's all the end of Spider-Verse was. And then we move on to the final bit, which is the Ultimate Universe news. The Ultimate Universe was reborn in Ultimate Invasion, the first miniseries, with Ultimate Invasion. Ultimate Universe number one coming out as the next part of the series. which shows rebuilding Ultimates, which in the Ultimates will include Ultimate Doom, Thor, Sif, Captain America, and Iron Lad as the team so far.
Oh yeah, man. Two Asgardians and two Iron Men. Hell yeah, dude.
Well, no, it's not two Iron Men. It's just one. It's Iron Lad.
Yeah, but Doctor Doom.
Yeah, I get. Well, it's the new Ultimate Reed is Doctor Doom.
Yeah, it's just he just looks too similar to the Ultimate, not the Ultimate, the infamous Iron Man look. So that's why it feels like it's two Iron Men. I know it's not, but yeah. He's got the gray kind of suit. It's not typical green. Yeah, Doctor Doom. Yeah.
Yeah. That will lead into three Ultimate series as of right now, which is Ultimate Spider-Man, which is written by Jonathan Hickman and Art Barcello, which they said has quote unquote Peter B. Parker vibes.
Oh, dude, which means he's a loser, which is awesome.
The rumor is that he is the Spider-Man in the series is Peter Parker, but an older Peter Parker who's married and already has like a kid.
Dude, we need one of those. We need one of those, man.
Exactly.
We haven't had an adult Peter Parker in forever. Renew Your Vows is the last time we ever got anything of that, and then they like killed that Spider-Man off in one of the Spider-Geddons or some shit. And it's like, oh, okay.
Yes. So, I mean, they brought him all back, but
yeah, you know, that's I know, what it is. It's still like
no, I know, but it's supposed to be like a Peter Parker, like Peter B. Parker vibe, where it's like he's married and like older and has a family and now gets powers.
No, so, man, it's super cool. Yeah.
The other book is going to be Ultimate Black Panther, which is going to be Ra and Khonshu like rule over Africa. And Wakanda is like the only nation standing in the way of them taking all of Africa. Mm-hmm. So it looks like it will be Ultimate Moon Knight versus the new Ultimate Black Panther.
That's very cool.
Also, Ra and Khonshu are part of the Illuminati. So.
Oh, okay.
The Ultimate Illuminati is crazy.
Black
the
Panther
Ultimate Illuminati.
The fuck I be picking up.
It's insane. Like, it's a whole bunch of people. It's like, it's not like a small group. It's a huge group of people that take over, that rule the world. Pretty much. Mm-hmm. And they all kind of take turns of who's going to be the bad guy, you know, for the year and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
that was at the end of the Ultimate
power
Invasion book, right?
Yeah, that's from Ultimate Invasion, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. And finally, we have Ultimate X-Men, written and drawn by Peach Momoko, which will have armor as a POV character.
I love armor, but a whole book that's just Peach Momoko, I don't know.
I've read her stuff that's like.
Yeah, I like the Demon War stuff.
Out of canon,
cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't mind it. It's out of canon. I'm just her art style may be a little bit different with this.
It's just weird that it's like alone. I'm sorry. It's like one of the flagship ongoings.
I know.
The last Ultimate X-Men run is like legendary.
I know.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I'm down for it. I'll definitely read the first issue of all these Ultimate books because, you know, I didn't know what the Black Panther synopsis was, but that sounds like it's going to be the best one. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Now we'll see. I'm actually excited for all of them. The only one that's like leery is the X-Men one, only because you're right. It is Peach Momoko writing and drawing her own book.
Yeah, and it's not that she's bad in any regard.
No, not
Peach
at all.
Momoko's great. It's just, it's weird that that's the flagship X-Men book, you know?
Yeah.
So it's going to be, I know my dad's not going to read it, and he's a big X-Men fan.
Oh, yeah, of course.
No. But he doesn't like that kind of art
style.
So
that is it, guys, actually. What's up?
I said he doesn't like that kind of art style.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that's all the news. Wow.
So, guys, that is it for our New York Comic Con news breakdown. Let's jump into our book reviews, and we'll get out of here. We have Alan Scott, the Green Lantern from DC Comics, written by Tim Sheridan and art by Sion Torme. This is actually set in the past of the DC universe, in which we'll be exploring Alan Scott's first boyfriend, or not first boyfriend, but his boyfriend and his new villain, the Red Lantern, the mysterious Red Lantern. This is also
waiting for this book.
I cannot wait for this fucking book. It's really cool. You get to see kind of like the early days of him and how he kind of becomes this major superhero in the early 40s. So I cannot wait. Mm-hmm. We have Drive Like Hell from Dark Horse Comics, written by Rich Durick and art by Alex Cormack. It's a mix between, it's a supernatural heist story, getaway driver story. It's like Baby Driver with a supernatural twist.
Oh, okay.
So Bobby Ray's a getaway driver, and he steals. So after every job, he ditches the car. That's like his job. Like, he's the getaway driver for like his girlfriend and a bunch of other guys, his crew. So after every heist, he has to ditch the car so they can't find them. So what happens is, in between heists, he finds this car in like this bar and he steals it. His crew goes on this heist and then they're all killed except for him. His girlfriend's resurrected in the car because she was shot while she was in the car. And it turns out the car belongs to a bunch of demons.
Oh, damn.
And like the car supernatural, and now they're being hunted by these demons to get the car back.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Doak, so I'm excited
in, like,
about this one.
It's just, yeah, I mean, this is a Hunter book.
Yeah, I like stupid, like, demon car. Not, like, I read Afterlift by Zdarsky and Liu. That one's crazy fun. I love car books, even though it's the hardest thing for artists to draw. I would love to do a car book, but I don't want to force it. Oh, force is a strong word for paying them. But I wouldn't want to pay any artists to have to draw too many cars. That's why my only car book currently was a motorcycle book that they turned into robots. So I had like that Transformers vibe going on for a little bit. I couldn't commit. I felt bad.
It's all good. It happens.
For sure. I'm excited. I like those kind of books. So
I know you
need more movies like that too.
Next up, we got Universal Monsters Dracula. This is a deal with Image and Skybound, in which Skybound has acquired the licensing rights for all the Universal Monsters. This is a retelling of the Dracula novel and the original movie from Bela Lugosi and the original Universal Monster stuff. You open it up with it's written by James Tinney in the fourth and art by Martin Simmons. If you read Department of Truth, he's the artist on Department of Truth. Actually, this is the same team that does Department of Truth, actually.
Good team.
It's wild. This book is creepy and weird. And it's the classic Dracula. So it is like, it's a retelling because this is not a verbatim take on either the original novel or the movie. It's good either way. If you're a fan of Dracula, if you want to read a cool vampire book, this is awesome. You should definitely check this out. It's actually awesome from start to finish. It's creepy as hell. Renfield is drawn like a savage monster. It's really cool. I liked it a lot. And then next up, we have Captain Marvel number one, written by Alyssa Wong and art by Jan Balzalda. This is a very classic. This book itself brings me back to like the 90s with Genus Vell and Rick Jones. What happens is Captain Marvel ends up being bound. Long story short, there's a criminal that breaks into Rick Jones' house to steal Negabands because she wants to pawn them off for like stupid money.
Sure.
This other villain shows up. This actual villain shows up to fight against Genus, who actually has the Negaband and is bound to Rick Jones right now. And she cuts off his hands, and in order to save herself, Luna, the thief, puts the bands on and she clangs them together to teleport out. The problem is when you clang the bands together, you swap places with someone else. And normally it's one of the Marvel, it's one of the Captain Marvels. So she switches places with Carol Danvers. So now, yeah. So now she's bound to Captain Marvel. So anytime Alyssa, every time
very
Luna
similar to what's
bangs
going
the,
on in the new movie.
It's they took that from the comic books. So yes.
No, I know, but like they're making it brand synergy, so people know what's going on when they see this movie, and they're like, "Why the fuck do they keep doing that?"
Exactly. So when you clang the Negative Bands together, you swap. So what happens when you clang the Negative Bands together? One person ends up in the negative zone, the other one is outside on the regular Earth. Mm-hmm. And you share minds, so you guys can talk to each other telepathically. So Captain Marvel is bound to a thief, and this thief is bound to the leader of the Avengers. So it's really, like, it's kind of a cool kind of thing that they're doing with it, where like she's not a good guy. Like, it's not like Rick Jones being bound to Marvel in the original 80s stuff. It's not like Rick Jones being bound to Genus in the 90s book. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really cool to see that they brought that back, and now we get to see it here in with Luna and Carol. And just some dumb hilarity is going to because Luna's a thief and hates superheroes. So
that's a good one.
And finally, guys, we have Marvel Zombies, Black, White, and Blood. This is an anthology series that will follow, and just like all the Black, White, and Blood series, an anthology series, this is all set within a quote-unquote Marvel Zombies universe. It's not tied exactly to Marvel Zombies, so don't worry if you didn't read those Marvel Zombie books. They're just cool undead stories. It's a cool anthology with lots of violence and blood and zombies. And that's it, guys. So, guys, thanks for listening. You can head over to our website, androidscomics.com. Check out this week's previews and new releases. Follow us on Instagram at androids_comics. The podcast Instagram, Androids Amazing Podcast, and X at Androids Amazing for up-to-date news and stuff that doesn't make this show and all the other fun stuff I talk about all the time. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share with a friend. And always, guys, support Low Comic Shop and have a nice day. We will be back hopefully next week with more Halloween stuff and a review for Diary of Dread. I'll see you guys then.
Sounds good. Peace.